Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Big Game 5 tonight. We're 8 hours away. 8 hours away from Rockets-Warriors Game 5. We're going to dive deep into that. We're also going to hear we're going to hear the entire prayer laid out by the Coca-Cola Swanger. Here's a little taste of what that sounded like, and we'll hear the rest here in about 10 minutes. This is a prayer for the Rockets, courtesy of the Coca-Cola Swanger.
Here, let's go in.
Come on now.
That his three-pointers and that his craftiness will keep going on.
We'll hear the rest of that in 10 minutes. So but good. I want to ask you this, Stanford. I laid out some expectations for Bill O'Brien earlier. I think I was being pretty fair. I think that this Texans offense, I'm not saying that they need that Bill O'Brien needs to like all of a sudden have some miraculous run, but I think given the pieces that they have, given the fact that it was the 15th offense in the NFL last year with key pieces missing time and the receivers, the running back, the tight ends being younger and Deshaun Watson being in his first full season as a starter, I think it's only fair to expect this Texans offense to be a top 10 offense next season. Am I asking too much?
No, I don't think you're asking too much because it's about time. I guess that's probably the best way to put it. You got DeAndre Hopkins. You're going to have a healthy Will Fuller. Still have Lamar Miller. You're not going to have a healthy Deontay Foreman. They just picked up a few more tight ends in this draft after picking up two last year.
Right.
I think that with actually adding Howard, the offensive tackle they just took in the first round,
mm-hmm.
I think that the pieces are there, and now you have a Deshaun Watson who can sling the ball all over the field anywhere he wants. There is no reason why the Houston Texans should not have a top 10 ranked offense.
And you basically told us that with the moves you didn't make, Stanford, they didn't go out and get big pieces on the offensive line. They literally said, we feel good about the development of these guys. And then they got some rookies that they felt very good about. Your receivers were really just injured, you know, the QT and Will Fuller.
Uh-huh.
So they're telling you we're kind of set. You know, they didn't draft a wide receiver. Now they brought in one for $50,000. So they're telling you we like this offense. So don't change your story now, you know, if it doesn't work out.
And you're also telling me we improved our offensive line. And
yeah,
despite the fact we were a 15 offense with all the issues, we added some new coaches. We added a quarterback coach. We added an offensive coordinator. So because of that, you would think that you need to improve. I'm not expecting the world. I just want a top 10 offense.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And I'm glad you agree with me, Stanford. You're a smart guy, man. You're a smart guy.
And I mean, I pretty much knew going into this draft that the Houston Texans were not going to hit anything on the skill position guys on the offense side of the ball, because why would you? I mean, why do you need
Unless you count the water polo tight end.
I mean, you have Will Fuller. You have DeAndre
Hopkins.
Careful
how you say that.
One of the tops in the league. You got Deshaun Watson, Deontay Foreman, Lamar Miller. So when it comes to the backs and receivers, you're pretty much set. I don't think that that's anything to sneeze at. Maybe not the best receiving corps in the NFL.
Mm-hmm. It's up there.
Yes, but it's definitely up there. And then you got the young tight ends that are going to be coming in now their second year, the ones that you just drafted. And I think that hopefully this Howard draft pick in the first round will shore up the offensive line, at least on the edges, on Deshaun Watson's blind side. So I don't see any deficiencies other than still having a relatively mediocre offensive line.
Well,
I don't see any deficiencies.
Well, that ties
this,
in with what
aerial attack.
The other part of this that we were talking about today, Stanford, is the deficiency, and I don't know if it's a deficiency. I guess I should say the deficiency could be, are they going to get this offense of Bill O'Brien? Are they going to get it? Are they going to get to the next level? Because they haven't yet, and now they're telling us in so many words, we like what we have. So it's really just a matter of getting to that next level offensively, because you can't play the same level of offense you did last year, not with the schedule of points-producing quarterbacks that you have coming in this year.
Yes.
You know, you can't. If you have the same offense and the same defense, which led you to win 11 games, you're not going to win 8 games, because the defense last year did its job, but you had 8 one-possession games last year that you won. You had 8 one-possession games that you won. Are you going to win a one-possession game with Drew Brees, with Phillip Rivers, with Cam Newton, with Matt Ryan, with Pat Mahomes, and with Andrew Luck? That's just in the first 7 weeks of the
year.
Yes,
exactly. And I think that just to your point, what you just said, J-Lo, that coming into this year, they're going to be going against much more prolific quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Last year, they won a lot of games against mediocre quarterbacks. And I think that this offense, it's do or die. And I think that also it may be do or die for a Bill O'Brien, because – if you cannot get this offense to the next level, mm-hmm. you've pretty much seen everything Bill O'Brien has to offer. What is this going to be, his sixth year
right.
of with the Houston Texans at the helm? And I think that if you're Brian Gain, I've seen enough. If you don't get over the hump, if mm-hmm. you don't get to the AFC title game, or you don't play the New England's or the Kansas City Chiefs or the Pittsburgh Steelers nip and tuck and lose in the divisional round by right. a field goal. If it's not that, I've seen enough, because – yes, the Houston Texans have won the division for the past couple of years. We all see that. But it gets to a point to where, you know what?
It's TP.
Where, you know what? This might actually be his ceiling. And that might actually be as high as he can take
it. Now, you might be right. Like, but he's got a scapegoat now. He's got a new offensive coordinator. He's got an offensive line coach.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
But for me, if I'm Brian Gain, I'm not letting you use that as a scapegoat. Mm-hmm. I got to get you up out of here. Just let's go ahead and take this to back in 2014, the Denver Broncos. They lost in the divisional round to the Andrew Luck Indianapolis Colts. They went ahead and got him up out of there. I forget mm-hmm. his name. You guys know who I'm
talking
about. John Fox. John Fox. Mm-hmm. They got him up out of there.
Got Kubiak, because he could work with quarterbacks yes. and yeah. get his guy in there.
Simply because you get to a point to where if you're John Elway, you see that, you know what, this might be his ceiling. Yes, we did good, but if that is your goal – to just go to the divisional round of the playoffs or lose in the wild card, then you know what? Keep him. Mm-hmm. But if your goal is to win a title and not be the loneliest
totally
team
agree.
In Houston, then you might want to think about actually making a change.
I'm with you.
If the offense does not take the next step this season.
I call it TP. It's tangible progress. That's all I need to see. Yeah. And you know, a lot of times you get in situations where coaches are able to just fire a coordinator every other year, or let's bring in this new guy, and all of a sudden you're treading water and you're in a situation where it's too late. All of a sudden your guys have come and gone. It's precious time for you, Stanford. I want to get your take on this, because Jerry Jones out in Dallas, he's done this with Jason Garrett. It's pretty much the pattern that they've been on, where he's already reached his ceiling. He was on the Rich Eisen show with Michael Irvin, and he was asked about Jason Garrett in the final year as head coach. And I want to see if you think this is the message that the Texans front office should have for Bill O'Brien heading into 2019.
It's being noted that we're in the last year of Jason's contract. He's been there before. Jason, as Bill Parcells used to say, might have a place in the family portrait as far as how valued he is. On our dime, so to speak, on our fans, on our team, Jason has become outstanding. We've won a lot of ball games. My point is, I'm satisfied with where we are with his contract right now. We all know that we need to get out here and win ball games.
That's pretty much basically saying it's put up or shut up. And yeah. I don't know what it would take for the Texans to do that, but I 100% agree with you on that. We talk about ceilings. We talk about floors. My thing with Bill O'Brien is I think that his floor, if you give him a team, now if Deshaun Watson gets hurt, all bets are off. Mm-hmm. But I think if you give him a squad, a functioning football team, I think Bill O'Brien's floor is higher than most coaches, but I don't know if the ceiling is high enough to where you want to go and where you should expect to go with a guy like Deshaun Watson. I think it's still up in the air.
Yeah, because what has Bill O'Brien proven to actually show that his ceiling could actually be winning a Super Bowl? Yes, we get it. He came from New England, so some of Bill Belichick's magic fairy dust has been sprinkled over him. I get all that. But when we actually go and really look at the nitty-gritty ever since he's been here, the Houston Texans have won the division a multitude of times, but we can also say that it was one of the weakest divisions, if not the weakest, in the NFL. So that right there is a little bit taking out a chink in his armor. And I think that for Bill O'Brien, I think that he's a player's coach. I think he gets along with a lot of people within the organization. But does he really have the in-game knowledge, that in-game leadership, nut-cutting time, 5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, making a change, making some sort of modification, or letting the quarterback audible at the line of scrimmage, something like that? Does he have that type of mental fortitude when it really gets nut-cutting time in the fourth quarter, divisional round, wild card round, for the division title, what have you, things like that? Does he really have that to actually take you to the promised land?
You know who else were players' coaches, and you always had to hear about it? Chuck Pagano and Marvin Lewis. You know what their record was? Five full seasons as head coaches, 42-38. Same exact as Bill O'Brien.
I just feel like everything that Stanford said, I can agree with, and I've heard at least four or five.
Is there
times
a but?
Before.
Is there a but?
I've heard at least four or five.
Is
times.
There a but?
Like every year we have this discussion, so he's got to prove it.
Sean Pendergast joining the show right now, along with Stanford Rout. Sean, I know we're going to get to what you got on the show. I know you're working with Hot Fudge, but before we do that, I know it's not Sunday, but I need you to bow your head in prayer because the Coca-Cola slanger has a prayer for the Rockets that he said earlier in the show. So we got to put our heads down and pray for the Houston Rockets tonight.
I just want to say that I hope that Chris Paul will stay strong. It says that if you seek, you shall find. And I hope that he finds a better three-point shot. I just want to say that I hope James Harden three-pointers will continue to fall.
Come on now.
I hope that his floaters will keep floating like rainbows. That they float like rainbows at the promise that they will bring us home another win back in that Oracle Center. And I also want to say that Eric Bledsoe,
come on now,
that his three-pointers and that his craftiness will keep going on. And there's also one other player that I want to talk about, and that's that P.J. Tucker. He's a bad mother. Woo!
Shut your mouth.
Had to catch myself because I got happy because he's putting that grit. He's putting that dog into it. And I just want to keep on keeping on. I want to keep on bringing that intensity. And I just want, that's a prayer I have to say, and I hope that he hears my prayer.
Amen.
And that the blessings keep coming on down.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
That's what I have to say, y'all.
Man.
Sean, that's what the Monsignors did in
Man.
Notre Dame, isn't it?
That's how they sounded.
Yeah.
The one in my the pastor, the priest in my hall, who was our rector.
Mm-hmm.
He did that in the lobby of our dorm every morning.
He did.
Yeah. More often during football season, oddly enough.
Yeah.
I mixed PJ Tucker into my BlueChew.com read yesterday.
I heard.
A lot of react.
I heard. By the way, I like the Art Briles throwback you got going right there.
My Baylor shirt, man. My kid goes to Baylor. Yeah. As does a lot of my money.
That means you got a little stake in it, a little piece of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, because I'm wearing this. I support Art Briles.
No. I just said Art Briles throwback. Easy now. Now you're going to.
You're the one who dropped his name in there.
Hey,
so.
That's his old coaching shirt, man.
Okay, I got you.
Whoa.
All right.
What are you and Fudge got going today?
Good thing your kid doesn't go to Penn State.
We got good stuff going. You got that right. Hey, let me ask you guys. I heard you guys talking about
the Sandusky.
Oh, Brian.
It took a while. I could smell the wood burning.
Dude, I'm pivoting off of this quickly. I want to ask you guys, because I heard it's an interesting topic that you're talking about O'Brien, and is he a Super Bowl coach? What coaches in the NFL right now who haven't been to a Super Bowl would you say are coaches that you can unequivocally say their ceiling is a Super Bowl coach?
My thing, to answer that, I think that I don't know that there are a lot, but I think that in order for me to believe in the ceiling of Bill O'Brien, I have to see this offense be a top 10 offense next year. That's my whole thing. I think that's the next step.
We really didn't even say Super Bowl coach. It's implied. I get what you're saying.
I heard you guys say Super Bowl.
We were talking about it with Stan, but I just think for me to believe that Bill O'Brien can get this, it can be a Super Bowl coach, I think this offense has to be a top 10 offense next year. But as far as your answer, there's probably five or six.
Okay. I mean, I'm looking at the standings and I'm trying to wrap my brain around it. I think it's a really interesting topic, and I think my biggest thing would be he hasn't beaten a team yet that you would say is a Super Bowl worthy team. Like for me,
his signature win. I've heard y'all talk about the signature win, that's insane.
That would be the biggest thing to me is until I see him beat a team that I say is a Super Bowl team.
Right.
Then I need to see that. Forget about the playoff record and everything else. Start there.
My thing is, well, a couple of things. When you look at this offense, is it creative and interesting?
Right.
The answer is no and no.
Yeah.
And I think even if you take because New England is just an absolute outlier because they have Tom Brady.
Right.
But take Tom Brady out of the equation. Just look at what the offense has done, even in New England, where they're conservative. They run the ball, and they have a defensive-minded coach, not an offensive-minded coach. They've run quarterback throwbacks. They've had Gronk out split, you know, wide. They've run all kinds of interesting and creative things, and that's what my take is. In order to be a top-10 offense, you have to make me, not me personally, but me as all our listeners and you guys, impressed by how you're looking. You know what I mean, Stan?
Yes, of course. I mean, I think that for Bill O'Brien, it's going to come a point where he has to be willing to take his hands off of the wheel and let Deshaun Watson get behind it and drive the thing. And you saw that with Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, it became a point right around 2005, 2006, 2007 when they got Randy Moss, where Bill Belichick was like, okay, you know what? Tom is ready to go ahead and just take the reins and just be a gunslinger. It comes a time where, as a head coach, you have to be willing to let your quarterback do that if you really believe in him. And I think that we all can believe in a Deshaun Watson that he's ready for that. He did it at Clemson with Dabo Swinney. He now needs to be able to do that in the NFL.
All right, we'll see. I heard you guys talking about Tim Kelly, speaking of the offense, the new offensive coordinator, and Landry via soundbite trying to sell you on Tim Kelly. Is that what was going on,
I think,
John,
so,
what
yes.
I heard earlier?
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
You sounded skeptical still.
I am.
Landry, you actually sounded more skeptical after playing the audio.
Yeah.
Can I actually do this exercise?
Absolutely.
Can we via soundbite, can I try to be sold on Tim Kelly?
Absolutely.
It felt very interesting. All right, Figgy, play the first one that they played.
You know, sitting there and you know, the countless games broken down and the countless drawings made, things along those lines, really, really helps you kind of learn. It's almost like a Karate Kid type deal, like wax on, wax off.
Right, stop.
By the end of
stop.
It.
I knew
stop.
It. I knew
stop.
It.
I'm sold.
I knew where this was
I'm
going.
Sold. Tim Kelly, you had
I
me a Karate Kid.
Going.
Now, Tim Kelly is going to invoke 80s movies. This guy can run my offense from now until 2050.
Now, I did say he gets points for that.
Yeah, no, I gave him the whole damn thing. it was a TKO for me, John.
It's magic in the All-Star game. Just end the game now.
That's it.
Just
fade away three, baby.
How old is Tim Kelly?
I don't know.
40-something?
Doesn't matter because he's going to live forever. Almost
at this day and time in the NFL, I don't want my offensive coordinator any older than 38.
I think he's in his 30s.
Yeah.
But he's an old soul.
Yeah.
Which is why he appeals to me.
I want the Cliff Kingsbury, Sean McVay, the young guy who's original. He's just out there flying by the seat of his pants.
Well, that's age discrimination.
Maybe it is a little bit, but I want the wide open offense to an extent.
I hear you, man.
This is my thing, though. The whole point of it was there's no excuses for Bill O'Brien not to have a top 10 offense next year. That was really the basis of it. I'm trying to lay out expectations. It would be easy for me to sit here and say, they have to win playoff games. I'm not going to do that in a year-to-year league. I have to see a top 10 offense next year.
That'll give me more confidence in O'Brien. Ultimately, you do have to win playoff games because that's what it's about.
Well, they need a top 10 offense just to beat the quarterbacks they're facing.
That's the thing. I think that's a fair point. Inherently, they're going to have a top 10 offense just to get back to where they were last year.
Yes, I agree.
Because the teams they play.
And the thing is that there's many more teams that actually do have top 10 offenses that don't have the firepower that the Houston Texans have on offense.
Yep.
What do you got?
Well, look who's here.
Hot Fudge.
Grab a mic there.
Dirty Rich Lord. That's not Rich Lord.
It's not Rich Lord. Yeah, Rich is still sick today. So,
hey, Clint, did you guys hear?
Clint Sterner, our boss, tapped his right arm again to call him in from the bullpen.
Brought the right in.
He hauled ass from Baytown to get here.
It's like a doctor. He's on call.
Burn up I-10, baby. Will not be there as close
money,
to two as
money,
I can get there.
When you played Little League, you ran over at least three catchers, I'm guessing.
No, I was the only white guy in the whole in Central Little League in Baytown. I wasn't running over nobody. No, I wasn't going to push the envelope. There was pit bulls fighting on the basketball court and people hitting each other with crutches and stuff. No, I wasn't running nobody over, no sir.
People hitting each other
y'all better
with
ask about Central Little League, Pelly Park, Baytown, Texas.
I'd have to start going there on Saturdays.
That's entertainment right now. I want to see people.
Hey, way too much white on that dome here. Hey,
you said I was olive last week.
You were last week, but hell, looks like you've been
faded. Yeah.
You've been holed up for a week in a bedroom or something. I don't know.
Pretty close. Yeah.
Yeah.
Man. I want to see a fight with a crutch, man.
I ain't kidding you, man.
I've seen a couple before.
I was on the baseball field, and some old boy was in the stands. It was one of the Morales brothers. They're great
my people.
Guy. There's like five of them. Well,
my
they were
people.
All. I was the only white. Sterner was the only white guy in the bunch. And I'm going to go out on a limb. Every other guy was Hispanic.
As soon as you said Morales, I understood.
Yeah. There was a lot of Garcia, a lot of Morales.
Hernandez.
Bro, if you put an S on the end of it, it was there. It was there, I promise you. There ain't no doubt about it, man. I was the only white guy on the All-Star team, and the rest of them were of Hispanic descent. And one of the Morales brothers, one of the young ones, was out there going at it with an older man out kind of behind the bleachers.
Yeah. Somebody brought out the crutch.
That middle brother was on crutches in the stands. He said, I ain't having that. He went out there and just cracked it over old boy's dome. It was like, he put an end to it real quick.
The Morales brother. It sounds like a heel tag team in WWE.
Nacho Morales was his first name. Nacho Morales.
Of course Morales. It was. This could
I played with him all the way up. So, well, he's one of the best baseball players to ever come out of Bay
County.
I got
a cousin they called Nacho. 100% true.
Seriously.
Awesome, dude.
I doubt it's abnormal. His real name's Ignacio, but I mean, Nacho is a lot easier.
It is.
What do you think? Landry's like, man,
I've got
outskirts of Dallas. I don't understand that.
I ain't never
had that many S's in my game.
Hey, I had a Gonzalez pee on someone in the shower, dude. Our school was a little more mixed up than you think.
I got a Nacho, I got a Kiko, and I got a Portes. My cousins.
I'd butcher that with some kind of Spanish word. It's like some kind of curse word in Spanish.
What do we got? What do we got, Sean?
Do I need to really say what we have?
Yeah, Nacho.
Let's talk about Nacho. The last 3 minutes. We've got 3 o'clock today. We've got Daryl Johnson, who not the Moose Daryl Johnson. We've got one of the hosts on 95.7 The Game.
Okay.
To preview tonight's game between.
The Guru. I know him.
The Guru. Yeah, he's going to join us at 3:30. John Harris, actual Guru, is going to join us at 3:35. And Cecil Shorts.
Jug machine.
Cecil Shorts, who's in the building already, you can tell he's chomping at the bit for 4 o'clock.
Cecil Shorts is actually going to join me tomorrow along with Wade Smith. The OG John Lopez, go figure, going on a fishing trip.
I'm going to a funeral tomorrow. Then I'm going fishing Friday.
Funeral, then fishing.
God, how does that feel?
It started with an F. So I got Cecil and Wade tomorrow. I got Wade and Trap on Friday. Then on Monday, it's going to be Ahedebo and Cecil. So keep it locked here on Sports Radio 610. Big ups to Stanford Routes for coming in. Shut up, Lopez. Good Lord. You want to join him? Keep it up. John, safe travels to your funeral and to your fishing trip. Figgy, thanks for everything you do. Triple Threat is next. Shout out to Nacho.
I'm going to see y'all in the morning.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.